Nigeria's economy is the second largest in sub-Saharan Africa after South Africa, but observers say that status is deceiving. They complain that Nigeria, despite billions of oil revenues and nearly 7% yearly economic growth, has failed to lift living standards for the average person. Tony Ayare is a columnist and political consultant to Governor Adams Aliyu Oshiomhole of the South Central State of Edo.
More than 70% of Nigerians live below $1 a day. If you look at all the Millennium Development Goals, look at both maternal and child mortality. This region, Nigeria, has one of the highest maternal and child mortality in the world. Then when you look at other areas, maybe like girl child education, other indices of the Millennium Development Goals, you find out that we are lacking. In fact, the possibility of meeting the target by 2015 is a mirage. So how do you explain that for a country that has earned more than $500 billion in the last 30 years, which has not been able to provide jobs for people, which has not been able to put food on the table, which has not been able to provide health care, schools, build good roads, a country that has not provided hope for its teeming population?
It's not for lack of trying. President Goodluck Jonathan of the People's Democratic Party has introduced several measures to improve transparency and efficiency. They include a proposed $10 billion plan to develop Nigeria's gas reserves and its petrochemical and fertilizer industries. Jonathan says the venture should help create 500,000 jobs. His administration also backs the ambitious petroleum industry bill, which would improve transparency in contracts and increase government petroleum revenues. They, in turn, would be used to create a new fund to help develop often neglected oil-producing communities. Perhaps the president's most publicized plan is to reform the ineffective Power Holding Company of Nigeria. The state-run agency was originally named the National Electric Power Authority, NEPA, which many Nigerians said meant no electric power anytime or no electric power again. Ayare says things are so bad that companies have to rely on their own sources of energy to operate.
Cost of doing business in Nigeria, if you compare it to several of the countries, particularly even on the West Coast, is more than 60% higher. That's why you find out that it's easier to go and do business in a place like Ghana, where there is power 24 hours, than you do it in Nigeria. In Nigeria, if you are engaged in production, you have to provide your own power, you have to generate your own water, you have to, maybe sometimes you have to build your own roads, you have to provide your own security and so on. So by the time you add all this overhead, the cost of production is very high.
Jonathan has also proposed spending nearly $4 billion on a new electricity grid. The president predicts domestic power generation would increase from about 4,000 megawatts today to about 20,000 within the next 4 years. Shola Tayo is a first-year associate fellow in the Africa program at the London-based think tank Chatham House.
Goodluck Jonathan made headlines, especially with his plans to completely privatize the electricity sector, because I don't think anybody else had gone as far as he's proposing. There were a few attempts by the former president, Olusegun Obasanjo, to try and reform the power sector and, you know, make some changes and, you know, privatize and foreign companies bid for contracts and stuff. But I think what Jonathan is proposing goes much further and actually advocates a complete privatization of the state-run power company, which I don't think anybody else has actually proposed before. So what he's proposed, he made quite a big splash with that, and he appointed a very respected Nigerian professor, Bart Nagy, to oversee the process. And, you know, he's somebody that people like and admire. I think he's a bit of an innovator. So, you know, he's not a lightweight that's been appointed by Jonathan. But it remains to be seen whether this will make a significant difference to Nigerians and, you know, whether the actual level of power generated will increase. I mean, so far they've had interest from companies, I think, in Ireland, Canada, India. So people are interested. It just remains to be seen whether they deliver and whether the government makes it easy for them to deliver.
Observers say whether or not the country can be turned around depends on how leaders handle another important issue, corruption. The World Bank blames the problem for the loss of $300 billion over the past three decades. The issue has been a boon to two other presidential contenders with records of fighting graft, former General Muhammadu Buhari of the Congress for Progressive Change and Nuhu Ribadu of the Action Congress Party, who has served as chair of the country's Economic and Financial Crimes Commission. On the other hand, some have less confidence in President Jonathan, who they say has surrounded himself with corrupt officials. Emmanuel Efer is a public commentator and former news editor for the Leadership newspaper in Abuja.
One of his weaknesses are that he has quite a lot of weak, he says people around him who are his supporters, who are his key organizers and planners, are people that Nigerians, some of them are people that Nigerians are not happy with. And people really say that if for him to succeed, he shouldn't be dealing with such people. He shouldn't have any relationship with such characters. Then in the last 12 years of Nigeria's democracy, some of these kind of people have been in government with, in the successive government, and Nigerians see them as people who have not really helped the country, who have not done well to move the country forward. And so people are wary of this kind of people being around me. People are suspicious that such people around me are most likely going to influence his decision, because he's also seen as a man who has no mind of his own.
Observers note another characteristic common to most of the front-running candidates. Only the vice presidential candidate of the Action Congress Party of Nigeria, banker and businessman Fola Adeola, has any experience in the private sector. Some complain that despite the importance of these issues, much of the campaign season has been devoted to personal topics, like the candidate's religion or home region. Dr. Jibrin Ibrahim is the director of the Center for Democracy and Development in Abuja.
Personalities have played a much bigger role in the campaigns, and that is very unfortunate because the presidential candidates are not being judged very much on the issues they stand for. I think we had a situation in which most of the candidates simply addressed what everybody knows are the basic issues of Nigeria, that they'll give electricity, they'll give water, they'll create employment, without going into the details of how they'll do that vis-a-vis the resources available to the country at these difficult times. So my general comment is that issues were not really central to this campaign.
Jibril Ibrahim says one important topic that he says has been ignored in this campaign is security. In recent years, the government has confronted militants who say they are fighting for greater development of the oil-rich Niger Delta region. The government has also faced intercommunal violence between Muslims and Christians in the country's center or middle belt, and the emergence in the mainly Muslim northeast of the militant group Boko Haram.
It was clear to everybody it's a serious issue. First of all, the level of violence was quite high. Secondly, in some parts of the country, there's low-level insurgency that has persisted. In other parts, there have been communal conflicts of significant levels. Banditry and armed robbery continues to be a major problem. So in the mindset of Nigerians, improving the security situation is an absolute necessity at this point in our life as a nation.
Ibrahim says President Jonathan, who has helped oversee an amnesty for Niger Delta militants, has the support of many voters who want an end to violence in the region. Others say retired General Buhari, himself a northern Muslim, would be best to handle conflict in the north and central regions. Others, like Shola Tayo of Chatham House, say social issues have been neglected.
There are issues that the politicians shy away from during campaigning because they're too sensitive. I mean, it's very easy to, at one point, you know, before all the parties had selected their candidates, everyone, you know, anyone that wanted to run for the election, it was very trendy for them to talk about the economy. You had the former vice president, Atiku Abubakar, who was running against Goodluck Jonathan for his party. He was kind of preaching fiscal discipline, and, you know, so it was very trendy for people to talk about certain issues that would get the electorate, you know, interested, because that's what was going on in the world. You know, there was a global recession and everybody wanted to talk about the economy. But closer to home, there are some social issues that people don't like to talk about. And, you know, we're talking ethnic divisions, the concept of, you know, what it means to actually be a Nigerian, because there's, you know, there's a serious issue with people now not describing themselves as Nigerian. A lot of people will call themselves, you know, Yoruba, Igbo, Muslim, Christian. And that kind of thing, you know, combined with the way some people campaigned during the election, just fuels, you know, divisions, and it makes people, it doesn't build for a cohesive nation. So you have, you know, people that say, well, I'm a Muslim, and, you know, that's the end of it, so I'll only vote for a Muslim, or I'm a Northerner, so I'll only vote for a Northerner. They don't kind of look at the merits of people. They base them, you know, they judge people based on their ethnicity or religion. And I think that's something that really, really needs to be addressed. Because if you look at what's happened in some other African states, you know, in particular the Ivory Coast, if you look at what Laurent Gbagbo did with his kind of campaign of highlighting, you know, Ivorianness, I think it can be quite dangerous if people don't talk about these things, you know, at a grassroots level quite early on. I think it just fuels resentment amongst people.
Observers say it's not clear to what extent regionalism will determine the winner of the campaign. They note that both President Jonathan and General Buhari enjoy support throughout the country, and they note that with the abundance of so many small ethnic and religious groups, it's hard to be sure if any single candidate has a complete lock on any given region. I'm William Eagle in Washington.